So, the people of Israel had just been defeated by the city of Ai, excuse me, and preparing to march deeper into Canaan, as they claimed the promised land and the Lord had given to them. They now have a couple of victories under their belts. They had to learn a difficult lesson before they defeated Ai, and there are more lessons for them to learn as they move forward to possess the land of God, the land that God had promised them. The next lesson they must learn deals with becoming too friendly with the enemy. As believers, we also must consider this important lesson. The Bible tells us that our enemy, the devil, Satan, is like a roaring lion that is seeking someone to devour. He is very effective foe, and we are warned that we must watch out for his attacks. As we study this passage, let's learn the lesson that Israel had to learn. There is a danger in becoming too friendly with our enemy. The enemy can be deceptive. If we look at the first 13 verses of that chapter, we would see that when all the kings of Canaan heard what happened to Ai and to Jericho, they joined forces to seek to defeat Israel. They formed an alliance to fight against the Israelites. Now, when the Gibeonites heard that the Israelites were headed in their direction, they set up a crafty scheme to trick Israel into making a peace treaty with them. They dressed in old clothes, carried old bread and wine, and pretended that they were from a very faraway country, which they weren't. They did everything in their power to trick, to deceive Israel. They're trying to save their lives. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes." Now, Satan would like nothing better than to trip us up and cause us to fall into one of his traps. So Satan uses cunning tricks, just like the people of Gibeon did. People trick us, don't they? People say one thing, mean a different thing. People try to get our favor. They want something, and when they got it, they go, "Oh, I've got what I want. I don't need them anymore, so I don't have to come back." So we've all been in that situation. We've been let down, haven't we? People promise this. We promise people. Have we let them down? Do they let us down? Well, notice that in these verses, the men from Gibeon lied. They lied. They didn't tell the truth. They claimed to be something they were not. Do we claim to be something we are and we're not? They didn't mention anything that had happened since Israel had crossed the Jordan, giving the impression that they had indeed been traveling for quite some time. Again, this is a perfect picture of our enemy, the devil. He will use slick and enticing speech to get us to give into his plans for our life. The devil will give us every reason in the world to justify the things he wants us to do. So what do you think Satan told? It's not mentioned in the Bible, but I'd like to imagine it. What did he tell Cain? How to kill Abel? Did he tell Cain to kill Abel? I don't know. Did he tell David to, how did he get David to sleep with Bathsheba? Did he get into David and said, "Why don't you sleep with her?" Did he get into Judas? I think he did, actually, if I read the Bible properly. To get him to betray the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, I think he did. And did he get into Demas to get him to forsake Paul in his missionary journeys? Well, notice that in verse 7, Joshua initially was a little cynical of these so-called ambassadors. He questioned them about their origin again in verse 8. Joshua is to be praised for his caution, but he gave up just a little too soon. And do we give up a little bit too soon? Do you feel sometimes you just, "Oh, I can't do this. A little bit too far to go. Can't do this. Can't do that." Do we give up a little bit too soon? Are we cautious sometimes? Do we think, do we pray before we make decisions? Or do we give up a little too soon? Well, the Gibeonites showed him their clothes, their food, and the broken wineskins. Joshua was more than impressed, and he believed their story. Be careful who you believe. Watch these politicians. it's not what they say, it's what they do. But when they get into power, it's a different ball game. So we don't know. Don't listen. Don't believe everything you hear. Question it. Research it. Find out. But sometimes we have to go on trust. Sometimes we have to. But be careful. So how are we supposed to be able to discern then the truth from error? Well, the answer is the word of God. Surely. Has to be. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." When our spiritual vision gets dim through neglect of the word of God and prayer, we become very open to the tricks and traps of the devil. How often do you pray? I'm not going to ask. Some of you may pray a lot. Some of you don't pray. Some of you pray a little bit. How many of you read the Bible? Don't put your hand up for that. I would say some of you read lots. Some of you read little. And some of you don't read any of the Bible. Am I right? I don't know. You tell me. Only you know. But the Word of God gives wisdom. If you want to find out what the truth is, read the Word of God. But Jaku Saka, you know, the footballer, Saka, he's been through Arsenal, who scored the equaliser and who also scored one of the penalties, is a Christian. I remember seeing him yesterday. He says he reads the Bible. Now, whether I believe that or not, I don't know. I actually did a bit of Googling there. But I believe he reads the Bible every day because his mother's a Christian. She's Nigerian. She's Nigerian born. And he's been brought up in a Christian family. He lives with his family. And I think Tim was mentioning too, he mentioned about his faith. Is that right, Tim, also? But the thing I must remember, he says he reads his Bible every day. And I think that's remarkable. Do you? Well, some of you are looking a bit shaky out there. I'm not sure whether you actually do read the Bible as often as you should. But you should. Because it helps us to stay closer to God. It helps us to learn the truth. And we must always guard ourselves against the devil. But when they consider to be the right thing to do, but what they considered to be the right thing to do turned into a problem because they did not take the time to pray. Joshua didn't pray again. Ai, remember, he didn't seek God's counsel, and he's doing it again. He didn't seek God's counsel. In verse 14, the Israelites sampled their provisions but did not inquire of the Lord. As a result, they stepped out of the will of God and had to suffer the consequences. How many times has this been true in our lives? We step out of the will of God. We jump into things and do not realize that we have made a mistake because we didn't take the time to pray or to seek God's guidance. Sometimes it's good just to stop, pray, and seek God's guidance. God will lead us in our decisions when we seek his will through the word and in prayer. But he will not force us to seek his advice. We're not robotic. We're not programmed. God doesn't force us to do something. It's a free will. He's given us a free will. We choose. You choose to accept Jesus Christ. You choose not to accept Jesus Christ. He won't force you. He won't force you to do something that you don't want to do. But he'll lead you. He'll try to persuade you. But if we don't seek God's advice, he's not going to knock on Ali's door and say, "Excuse me, Ali, you didn't seek my advice. I'm very, very cross with you." He doesn't do that. If we don't seek his advice, we don't get it. Look at the Bible. Look at Joshua. God didn't force him. God wanted him to, but he didn't want to. So God had told them to completely destroy the inhabitants and to make no treaties with them. However, Israel has disobeyed this command, and as a result, they sinned before the Lord. Now, we can point our fingers at them and say, "Shame on those Israelites. Bad Israelites." But the point is to learn from their example. Learn from the Bible. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from the Bible's mistakes. There are so many mistakes in the Bible, don't get me wrong, that we can learn from our mistakes, our sins. The Word of God is plainly tells us that the Lord's will is for our lives. It tells us what God wants us to do. Yet all too often, we will allow sin, we will allow the world to distract and defeat us. When Joshua found out what these people had done, he went straight to them and confronted them about their deceit. Oh, suddenly he realized I made a mistake. Right, let's go and find out why. Now, when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he turned to the Word of God. Did you know that? What did Jesus do? He turned to the Word of God. What a great example. He confronted Satan with the truth and caused the devil to flee from his presence. The Word of God is a powerful thing. That's why Sackle reads it, and many others too. I'm certain that Satan cannot stand in the presence of the truth. If we will confront him with the Word of God, he will flee from us. Well, how do I know that? James chapter 4, verse 7. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That is God's promise. And that's where I'm getting it from. God promises that's going to happen in James chapter 4, verse 7. There is no question that Joshua and Israel made a mistake when they dealt with the Gibeonites. But mistakes can be corrected. Joshua realized the seriousness of what they had done, and he immediately took the necessary steps to control the situation. Now, he couldn't kill them because they had given them the word, their word, but they could control the situation. In your life and mine, there will be times when we will step out of God's will and sin. Look, none of us are perfect. You know, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God has a way for us to deal with sin through confession, repentance, and forgiveness. That's confession. We confess our sins. We repent from our sins. We stop doing it. And then we ask God to forgive us. Easily said and done in some cases. But we need to. We must face the fact that our sins carry consequences. Yet we can get right with the Lord and we can serve him faithfully. We must learn from our sins and our failures so that we can do so we do not fall into those same traps again. I have learned more through failure and mistakes. I hate failure. I hate mistakes. I get very cross. But I have learned more through failure and mistakes. Don't be frightened to make mistakes because you can learn from them. You learn a great deal from them. And I have. All my life has learned from the mistakes. I hate them. As a teacher, I had so many mistakes. I got really down about it. But I learned. Same in the church. I make mistakes in the church. We all do. Say things we shouldn't say. Do things we shouldn't do. Learn from it. How can you do it better next time? How can you make other people... How can you do things to do other people better if you're doing that situation? So we must learn from our sins and our failures so that we do not fall into those same traps. Learn from them. Don't give up. I've known a lot of Christians give up the Christian faith because they just can't do it. Well, of course, no one can. I can't do it. It's Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, that helps me go through. If we depend on him and the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll get through. But a lot of people, when they fail, they give up. Don't. Learn from it. Ask God's guidance. Learn from it. Seek God's guidance. Learn from it. Do God's guidance. Thomas Edison failed somewhere between 1,000 and 10,000 times before he invented a light bulb. I've mentioned this before in the past. Can you imagine failing something 10,000 times? 10,000 times. There's John nodding his head. I agree. Instead of quitting, though, John, however, Edison tried and tried again until he achieved. He didn't give up. Even if things are going really bad for you, please don't give up. Even if you feel the Christian faith is too difficult, don't give up. Speak to somebody. Talk to somebody. We all get there, you know. I get there many times when I feel, what's the point? I don't feel I'm doing this anymore. I'm tired. Paul tells me, don't say that. You're just getting old. But it does. But I do. I get tired. I feel, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm fed up with doing this. But I've got to learn not to give up, but to keep going. Will we fail the Lord as we go through life? Well, probably, and often. However, our sins and mistakes do not have to knock us out of the Lord's work. When we fail, we need to allow the Lord to use that time of repentance and restoration in our lives for his glory. And I'm coming to the end, you'd be glad to know. We can't undo the things we have done. I wish I could. I wish I could go back in life. I wish I could be a time lord. get into a TARDIS and change everything. I can't. We can't. But we can bring them to Jesus, and he can use them to help us grow in him. It's all about growing in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about trusting in him. So, again, I repeat, don't give up. Even if you feel like, even tomorrow morning you wake up in the morning and you think, I don't want to do nothing, I'm just so down about it. Don't give up. God's with you all the way. Let's pray. And I'll hand you back over to Ali. Lord God, we trust in you today. Help us to ride each new wave of temptation and to overcome the things that can drag our life down. As we look to you, we declare your promise of freedom over sin through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.